We continue our learning. Perek Beis, Mishnah Heid. Previous Mishnah, we spoke about whether there's an Isser Hana'ah benefit from the cheeses of non-Jews, of idolaters. But everyone agrees, we mentioned, that you're not permitted to eat the cheese of a non-Jew. The question is why, and that is the subject of this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shal Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yoshua, Kshayu Mahalchen Baderech. Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yoshua the following question when they were walking together. Amar lo mibnei ma'asu givido shel ovdei kochah ovdei kochavim. So Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua, why did the Chachamim prohibit the cheeses? It's not an Issur D'oraisa. Why did they prohibit the cheeses of non-Jews? So Amalo, so Rabbi Yeshua responded to Rabbi Yishmael, b'nei shem ma'amidin osa b'keva shel nevela. So Rabbi Yehoshua answered, I'll tell you why. Because they ma'amidim, to be ma'amid midalitus, to make it stand. In this case, it was speaking about curdling. So they curdle their cheeses with the rennet, that comes from the stomach of a nevela, of an animal that hasn't been shechted properly. So using the stomach of a nevela, that's going to be the problem. That's why the Chachamim were strict. Here's an animal that wasn't maybe a kosher animal, but it was not didn't have proper shechita. So the reason why the cheese is going to be prohibited is because we give the status of the rennet the same status as the animal itself. Since the stomach of that animal is prohibited because it's an available, you're able to eat that. So the rennet itself is going to be problematic as well. And since that's used as the enzyme in order to curdle the cheese, the milk, to make it into cheese, so that's going to be a problem as well. Now, why didn't he mention the fact that the cheese was made from the milk of a non-kosher animal? That should be a concern. A non-Jew may be using a non-kosher animal. So the answer is, although today we know that we can make cheese, let's say, from non-kosher animals like a camel, in those days they did not know how to do that. So the assumption is that the animal that they're using is a kosher animal. So what should the problem be? The problem is that it may be a nevela. It wasn't shechted properly. We have to treat the rennet from the stomach of a nevela like the nevela itself. So that's what Rabbi Yehoshua responded to Rabbi Yishmael. Amalo, so Rabbi Yishmael says, Rabbi Yehoshua, I'm not... I don't think that's a good answer. Why? V'halo kevas ola chamura mi kevas nevela v'amru kohen shedato yafa sorfa chaya. So what's Rabbi Yishmael's problem with Rabbi Yeshua's logic of saying that, we're using the rennet from a nevela? So the answer is because take an ola animal. An ola is a sacrifice. Obviously, we're much more strict with the sacrifice than we are from a nevela. So here's this is an offering. Ola has to be completely burnt, and we give it a status, something that's designated for hekdesh, problems of me'ila, of misappropriating from hekdesh. So take, for example, the stomach of an ola. That's certainly more strict than the keva, than the stomach of an nevela. And yet, you know what the Chachamim say? That a Kohen Shedato Yafa, if you have a Kohen who is, Dato Yafa means that he's willing, he's not sensitive to this, he's willing to gulp it down, the rennet from the stomach of an Ola, we allow him to do that, even when it's Chaya, even then when it's raw. An Ola clearly is more strict than a Nevela because you can't get Hana from an Ola. It's a sacrifice. Yet you can get Hana from Nevela. You just can't eat a Nevela. So obviously Ola is more strict. And yet, if you have a Kohen who's not going to find it disgusting to drink that which is in the stomach of an animal, we allow a Kohen who's willing to do so. Sorfa literally means to burn, but here means to consume. Even when it's raw. So why don't we mention cooked? Could eat it when it's cooked too, but where would you cook this in the Beis HaMikdash? If it's from an animal, the Ren, we have to be concerned that maybe some milk there. So you didn't have any dairy kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, but and Cohen would typically drink it raw, assuming he wasn't disgusted by it. That's why we mentioned raw, but it could be cooked as well. The point is that when it came to an ola, which is more strict, we allow a Cohen to drink the rennet from the stomach of an ola animal. So how could you tell me that the cheeses are prohibited because we use the rennet from the stomach of a nevela animal? We even an ola animal is even more strict, and yet we allow a Kohen to drink the rennet from that without a problem. So v'lo hodu lo. Now, the Mishnah points out that not everyone agreed with that. And this is something that that the Chachamim didn't allow. Here's something that it's true that there was an opinion that a Kohen is able to consume the Ola, the Kaver of the Ola, without a problem. But okay, the Chachamim were not mode with that Psak Halacha that Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of these other Chachamim. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter, because even if you hold that a Kohen is not able to consume the rennet of an Ola animal, it's still not that strict. Aval Amru, meaning what? Aval Amru, ein nehenin velo moalin. You know the Chachamim say, this is the Chachamim who even do not allow you to swallow the rennet of an Ola animal. They still say that it's true you can benefit from the rennet of an Ola animal, and obviously you can drink it as well, but velo moalin, which means if, let's say, you did get hana from the rennet of an Ola animal of this sacrifice, this offering, there's no violation of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is getting Hanah from the Beis HaMikdash, from Hekdesh, and here there's no violation of Me'ilah. Why is that? Because Me'ilah is not violated, because this is not an Isra Doraisa, it's an Isra Durabanan. So when there's an Isra Durabanan, we say when it comes to Hekdesh, so we say, okay, Lechatchila, we say don't get Hanah, but if you did, there's no violation of Me'ilah. So if this is true, that means that midoraisa, there is no problem really with the rennet of an Ola animal. So even if you're going to be strict and say that a Kohen can't swallow it, none can drink it, nonetheless, getting benefit from it is lechatchila not allowed, but there's no violation of Mila because it's not an Isra Doraisa. So if that's true, why would you be so strict about an Avela when it comes to if midoraisa, it doesn't apply to an Ola, there's no problem with the rennet of the stomach, midoraisa, only midorabanan. So why are you telling me so, and that's even more strict than an Avela? Why would we say that though I have a problem with the cheeses that are made from the stomach, from the rennet of a stomach of an Avela, when even the Ola, which is normally more strict, which is Asa Bahana, Midrabanan, Asa Midrabanan, but it's not a problem of a problem with Doraisa at all. So we certainly shouldn't be strict by an Avela. So why should the cheeses be prohibited? This is Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Yehoshua. So Chaz of Amalo, so Rabbi Yehoshua then said, okay, I'll give you the reason. That's the problem. You know why you can't have the cheese of Ovdei Kochavim? Because they curdle it with the egle from the rennet of the stomach of calves. And those calves were worshipped, were offered as Avodah Zarah. And you'll say, as the Bartunra says, "Va'afal pi, va'afal gav de pirsha ba'omahi." It's like refuse, it's like waste. The rennet, why should that be prohibited? The shiny avodah zara by avodah zara is different. We're strict. The chsiv ba'avolo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma menacherim. From avodah zara, you can't have anything. So anything related to an idol, and since this is you, we assume, as Rabbi Yeshua says right now, that it was the rennet was used from an eagle that was from a calf that was offered for idolatry. So if we're using the rennet from that, anything related to the idol itself is going to be, even though it's waste, or rennet in this case, is a problem of takrovis avodah zarah and is prohibited. And that's why, since they're using the rennet from avodah zarah itself, from the stomach of an animal that was used for an offering as an offering of avodah zarah, that's why the cheeses are a problem. So amalo, Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua, imkein lamalo asur bahana. So then why shouldn't we say that the cheeses should be asur bahana? If you're telling me it's coming up with a zarah, it shouldn't be just prohibited to eat, it should be asur bahana. We mentioned before that the cheeses of Ovdei Kochavim are only asur to eat, but they're not asur bahana. You can sell them, you can feed them to your animals, and that's not a problem. If it's avodah zarah, it should be a big problem. So the Mishnah now says, Hisio l'davar acher, Rabbi Yeshua turned Rabbi Yishmael's attention to something else, which means he did not want to. The truth was that the answer he just gave was not correct. We were not concerned that it's Egle Avodah Zarah, the rennet from animals that were calves that were offered for Avodah Zarah, and therefore that's why it's not going to be Asa Bahana. But he didn't want to give the real reason. The real reason happens to be for what we mentioned before. And the Bar Tumra says, V'lo Ratza Lahagi Lo Taimo Shel Dov. He didn't want to give the reason. B'nei Shadayin Lo Avru Shnei Masar Chodesh Nigzo Gzeruzu. This gezerah that the cheeses of Ovdei Avodah Zarah are us, or of Ovdei Kochavim are us to eat, was is gezerah d'rabbanan that hadn't even been around for 12 months yet at the time of this conversation between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. The Chigazri Gzeira, and the rule is that when the Chachamim made a Gzeira, make a Gzeira, lo magli l'taima treisa yarchi shata, they don't reveal the reason until 12 months. Ad shetispashet Gzeira, so until it's spread and people are following the Gzeira, what are we afraid of? Dilma iko delo svira l'taima v'asuluzuzleba. Maybe people who don't follow, don't agree with the reasoning of the Chachamim, and they're going to degrade the gezer of the Chachamim, and that's why he didn't want to reveal the reason. What is the real reason? V'tayma da'asu gevino sa'akum, Baruch Tuner tells us, v'neshema midin osa ba'or keva shoshchita sa'akum shi'nevela. It is a nevela problem. And it's true they are using the rennet from the stomach, from the lining of the stomach of a nevela animal. You'll say, but hold on, v'afal pishu davar muat kene kala chalav. What do you mean? You have all this milk. You have a little bit. What is this? This is the skin. Is the rennet from the animal? What should the problem be? Kevin shu mamid hachalav v'oseh bo maisa, because since it's mamid, he's doing something that is causing it. The Davar Hamam, it is where you're solidifying, making congeal, low batel. It's not considered, it's not nullified. The Kai Malan, Hakolo Achar Hamam. When you have something that's solidifying something, making something, congealing something, so then we follow the Davar Hamam and it's not nullified. Umishum Basar B'Cholav, it shouldn't be a problem of Basar B'Cholav. Hey, you have milk and you're using from an something from meat from an animal. Kevan Cha Basar B'Vnei Atzmo Mutter, since the meat itself alone is okay. Eino oser b'cholav al afa pishamino. It's not going to be a problem of basu b'cholav achis and tinter motam until it actually gives a taste into it. And if it's not going to give a taste, then we don't have a problem of basu b'cholav. So why is this different than what we said before? We spoke about the renin, we spoke about the enzyme. The answer is here, the concern is that they would use the actual flesh of the stomach with the vela and not just the renin. So if that's true, the stomach is not kosher and it becomes a davar hamami. Those enzymes are causing the milk to curdle. So that's why we have to be concerned, and that's why this was a gzera de rabbanon, more than just the fact that they're using the nevela itself, and it's usher to eat, but not usher bahana, but something that Rabbi Yehoshua did not want to reveal to Rabbi Yishmael because the gzera was less than a year old. So Omar lo, so this is what he turned his attention to, speaking about something unrelated, but maybe related somewhat. Omar lo Yishmael achi, says Rabbi Yishmael, my brother, hech ata korei kitovim dodecha miyoyin o kitovim dodayach. So this is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Yishakeni, beginning of Shir Hashirim, says Yishakeni minishikos pihu, I should be kissed with the kisses of his mouth, because your love is, or beloved, is greater, is better than wine. The question is, who is Dodecha referring to? Shir Hashirim, we generally assume the Dod is Hashem. But at the beginning here, it's possible to read this word as Dodecha in the masculine, if it refers to Hashem, Hashem's love, or maybe Dodayich. That's the feminine, refers to your love, meaning of the Jewish people. So if it's, we understand it as Dodecha, so the Jewish people are speaking about Hashem's love for them, for the Jewish people. But if we read it as Dodayich, then the Jewish people are saying what Hashem said about the love the Jewish people, Dodayich, the love that they have for Hashem. So that's this is what Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabbi Yishmael. By the way, Yishmael, Achi, how do you read the pasuk? Do you go, Dodecha mi? I read it that second way in the I read it in the feminine, and because of that it means the Jewish people are speaking about Hashem and saying that they are yearning to be dodayich, your love, meaning their love, the love of the Jewish people. Hashem says we want to be kissed by Hashem because Hashem said about the Jewish people that dodayich, that your love, feminine, that your love of me. Hashem says to us, your love, the Jewish people's love of me is better than wine. That's the way I read it. Dodayich. Amalo, ain't that okay? So Yeshua said to Yishmael, it's not true. Sharei chaver malamin olav. The other pasuk teaches you that we're supposed to read it as dodecha and not dodayich. Some discuss discussion about the fact of shouldn't we know what the pasuk? Of course, we know the word is dodecha. Some discussion in the Rishonim about that. We want to go into that. Its friend teaches about it. L'reach shemanecha tovim. What do we read? We read there as well. L'shemanecha. So if it's shemanecha, it must be dodecha. And shemanecha, we certainly understand as shemanecha, as that's how we read that word. So therefore, it's very clear, whoever's mentioned the first pasuk, you mentioned the second pasuk, and what does that teach us? So your oils are tovim, the fragrance of your oils, and your oils, that's referring to is referring to Hashem, it's addressing Hashem, and therefore it must be dodecha as well. Now the Baruch Tanur explains that this really is related to something. There was a message of Yeshua was given to Rabbi Yishmael. He says, El Knesset Yisrael, Amar Levin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Arevim Alai Divrei Dodecha, which means the Hashem is said, that which one is it? Dodecha, the Klomar Takano Shetaknu V'Gazru Chachamim, Shetiknu V'Gazru Chachamim, Yoser Miyena Shel Torah. The Takanos that the Chachamim have made, and the Gezeris they've made, the decrees, is even greater than the Yain of Torah, Me'ikr Torah Shebechsa. So it's the ones who Hashem's love. Dodecha, you love. Who does Hashem love? He loves the rabbis. He loves them better than the Torah, than the actual Torah itself. What does it mean? So Rabbi Yeshua, this is really a hint. This Rabbi Yeshua hinting to Rabbi Yishmael that when we have Gzeres Rabbanon, they come as a siyog, and they're even more dear to the Jewish people than the halach, than the dinim Torah Shebichsav, even though we may not be familiar with the reason. And this is really the message that he was giving him. I'm not going to give you the reason, but it doesn't matter. There's certainly good reason for this gezeira, and therefore the cheeses are us, although I'm not going to give you a good reason. Why do we assume that this is even better than Yena Shel Torah? Because the Chachamim are making their safeguards in order that obviously shows they have Yiras Shamayim. So the fact that we are involved, it shows that Hashem's Dodecha, your love of the Jewish people, is so great because of the Takanos and the Gzeros that they make. Perek Beis Mishnah Vav. Elu Dvarim Shel Ovdei Kochavim Asurin Ve'en Yisurun Isser Hana. Here are things that are Asur of Ovdei Kochavim, but it's not an Isser Hana, just an Isser of Achila. What are they? Chalav Shah Chalav Ovdei Kochavim Ve'en Yisrael Ro'ehu. We have a case where milk, then idolater milked from an animal, a Jew didn't see. What are we afraid of? So milk from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. Now, you should be able to recognize if it's coming, from a pig, it's a different color. Nonetheless, the non-Jew may have mixed it together, and it won't be recognizable as non-kosher milk. That is going to be mutter bahana for benefit, but usher to drink. That's first on the list. Vahapas, vahashemen shalem, and their bread and their oil are also prohibited. What's the concern? So the concern is the same as we have as bishulakum, which is we may lead if we can socialize with them and have their bread and join together with their oil, so we may end up, there may be a concern of intermarriage, of chasnus. So therefore, what happened with pasakum? So we know during Aseret Yemei there's a chumra not to have pasakum, but generally we're lenient when it comes to pas palter, where it's baked not by an individual that we know, but it's mass produced, so we don't have a concern with pasakum. This is because pas was a gzer that we could just not handle, couldn't tolerate, because the bakeries were owned by non-Jews, and we had to, the bread was kosher, we had to be able to eat from the bread because bread is a staple. Rabbi and the shemen as well became, was also, the oil was also something Gemara discusses eventually, also was not a problem. Rabbi Beis Din Oiti Rav Hashem, and that's what Mishnah here says, the Rebbe and he is Beis Din, they reversed that gezeira, which prohibited oil, and they allow this. Normally we say, Baruch Tanur points out, is this allowed? Usually we say that a Beis Din doesn't have the right to overrule a previous gezeira. So he makes the point, Vahashem and Rosh Elo Pashad Isur. They saw that the Isur, the prohibition, didn't spread at all. It wasn't really accepted. V'nimnu Olav Itu, and therefore they voted upon it and they permitted it. Baruch Tanur said earlier, he says, Pashal Nachtomin Itiru, that is where that of the general bakers they allowed, Aval Pashal Balei Batim Lo Hutar Lalahochei Drachim Shasad Chak, that comes to the bread of a Balabais, of a non-Jew, who we know he baked it himself, of a homeowner. So unless you're on a unless it's an emergency situation or holcha drachem, you're traveling somewhere, it's not allowed. And the concern, as he says, the mishum chasnus, the issue of the concern of potential intermarriage, if you're able to socialize when it comes to eating. Then the Mishnah says, ushlokos uchvashim shedarkan laseis lesochan yain vachometz. What else is on this list? Cooked food of ovdei kochavim. What's this? Is also a problem of chasnus, may lead to intermarriage, and this is what we call bishul akum. Says the Bar Tanur, kol davar shebishlo oso akum. A fil bishlo so be kelav shalisol. Even if he cooks it, it's kosher food, obviously, and he's using the kelim, the vessels of the Jew, ubefanav, and in front of the Jew. She'ein lachush letarvus isru ligule akum. You don't have to worry about any kashrus problem. Still, asru midrabban and mishum bishule akum. But this is only gives you the exception, which we probably know the halacha. That's where the Jew did not help out in the beginning or the end. So that is if the Jew is involved in the cooking process, according to the Ashkenazim, he just turns on the fire. According to Sfardim, he has to be involved somehow. That is, other than that, so if the Jew is involved, so it's not upon the Bishul Akam. What other exceptions do we have? The Bar Tanur has them here. Something that is normally, something that you would not eat raw. So that's a problem of Bishul Akam, but I have an apple. I can eat an apple that was baked by a non-Jew because I wouldn't normally eat an apple raw. So the fact that it was cooked or baked is not a problem. It has to be something that normally we receive served at a banquet or a feast to eat along with bread. If it's oatmeal or something like that, that's not a problem if it's cooked by a non-Jew. Then the Mishnah continues. That's shlokos. What else? What else? Pickled foods, vegetables, fish, meat, if they are types of foods into which ovdei kochavim would normally put wine or vinegar. And because we know that problem anyway, if prohibited wine or vinegar, which we meant, if that was added as part of the process of preserving it, of pickling it, so we have a problem. Now, we don't give it an Isser Hana because any wine or vinegar that may have been put in while it was being preserved, we assume is dissolved by now and it doesn't give a taste into it. So therefore, it's not going to be as usser as the wine that we spoke about earlier in the Perek, but nonetheless, it's going to be usser to eat, just not usser Bahana. That's Yain and Chometz. The Taurus Trufa, that is a type of fish. It's a Taurus fish, and that was chopped up. The Tzir She'ein Badaga Kilbis Shotetesbo, and fish brine that doesn't have this kilbis, which is a type of non-kosher fish that is shotetes, that's swimming inside. So let's go through each of these. The Taurus Trufa, which we say is on this list of foods that are usher to eat but don't have an Isser Hana. This is a Taurus fish, which is chopped up finely, as opposed to where you're chopping them to larger pieces. What's the issue? Well, the fish we know needs fins and scales. It's not pifa kaskeses. So the taurus is a kosher fish. It has fins and scales, as long as you can recognize that it's a taurus fish. So when it's cut into larger pieces, so it can be recognizable, you can see the head, you can see the spine, it's okay. But when you chop it up to very little pieces where you can't identify it through those parts of the body, so maybe there's non-kosher fish mixed in, and therefore the taurus of an ovid kochavim is therefore going to be prohibited. That's what means taurus trufa, where it's finely chopped up taurus fish. Vitzir she, so you can't recognize that there's non-kosher fish mixed in with it as well. Vitzir she'ein ba daga kilbis shotetes bo. We spoke about fish brine. Fish brine is where you have juice that comes out of the fish when you preserve it and when you salt it. And here, if I have fish brine of an ovid kochavim, you should not be eating that. Why? Because we're afraid maybe there's brine of an unkosher fish that's there. So what is it here? Tzir she'ein ba daga kilbis, doesn't have a kilbis fish inside that's swimming inside. Which means like this, the kilbis fish, if it were inside brine, it would die. So the fact that you have a kilbis wouldn't be able to live in non-kosher fish brine. That's what it's pointing out. So since it couldn't live in non-kosher fish brine, so then you have to be concerned if you buy brine tzir from a non-Jew. So where it's ein ba daga kilba shotetes, but it's not literally swimming inside, which implies that if you buy brine from a non-Jew and there is a kilbis fish that's swimming inside that brine, so then you know that must be kosher brine because the kilbis fish is not able to live in non-kosher tzir. So therefore, you know the tzir that you're buying is actually kosher. Then the Mishnah says v'hachiluk, which is another type of fish, the chiluk fish. What's the problem with this? We say it's usher b'hachilu, but it's mutter b'hana. So this chiluk is a small fish. It doesn't have fins and scales when it's young, but when it gets older, it will develop them. If you sell, though, a chiluk fish in large quantities, so you can't buy them from a non-Jew because there are similar-looking non-kosher fish, which you cannot identify. It could be that they're mixed in with inside, so there's no way to know. A chiluk fish on its own, even though you don't see fins and scales, it's fine because you know it'll develop them later. But if that's so, then it could be hidden. Non-kosher fish could be mixed up with it, and you wouldn't know what's chiluk and what is not. So therefore, that is also going to be prohibited to buy from them to eat of theirs. Uvikoret shel chiltis. This is a grain of chopped chiltis, which is a vegetable, a sharp vegetable. What's the issue here? So the Bar Tanur says kach shema ba'aravi. This is his name, chiltis in Arabic. V'chotchin keratov b'sakin. You take the little grains of this vegetable, you cut it up with a knife. Va'asura. Why is it asur? Mishum shamnunis b'sakin. Because of the fat that may be smeared on the knife. The agav harifusa de chiltis. Because of how sharp the chiltis is, like we would say a radish. We speak about radishes and maybe onions. Mamtekes hi tamash amnunis. It literally sweetens the taste, the flavor of the fat hanivlaba that's in the knife. So what's the problem here? So using chiltis is kosher. The problem is that the non-Jew, maybe even the same knife he used to cut non-kosher food or meat that may be now on the knife. And if you'll say, oh, well, I'll wait 24 hours. We know after 24 hours, it's no same tam lif gam. The taste of the flavor is now literally defective. It doesn't have the same effect that's absorbed into the kalim of affecting the food. You have this when it comes to a pot. Is it a benyom who is within 24 hours, or it's a non-benyom? It's beyond 24 hours, where we don't assume that any taste that's absorbed into the walls of the pot or the walls of the part of the knife are going to now get into the food. So that's true when it comes to foods that are not sharp. But here, even after 24 hours have passed from the time the knife was used for non-kosher food, we're not going to say no sim tam lefgam because the chiltis is so sharp it renews that isser, the taste that's prohibited, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So with the fact that we have a knife, it's a knife, and maybe the what we call duchka de sakina, the pressure of the knife, together with the sharpness of the food, may, let's say it's a radish, in our case it's the chiltis, can now reawaken that the prohibition even beyond, even though it hasn't been used for 24 hours. And there's no, you don't see any in meat on it. Obviously, if there's meat on the knife, that's a problem. But here we're talking about where we don't see meat on a knife. Nonetheless, it's absorbed into the walls of the knife. And the sharpness of the chiltis will now bring out that flavor even beyond 24 hours. So that you're not permitted to eat this chiltis for you bought from an anjou because he may be using a knife that was used for meat. He may be using to cut the chiltis. Umelach sal kontis. Melach sal kontis is a type of salt. It's a coarse salt. It's a white salt that was used. That was a Bar Tanur says here. Veregilim limshoach osa bechelav chazir. They would smear this salt with the fat of a pig. Uveshuman dug in tmeim or the fat of the oil of a non kosher fish. Vigasa ulavana biyosa. It's very large, very white. And he says it was also melach shakol gedoli romi ochnosa. The nobles of Rome would eat this as well. And this is, as the Mishnah concludes, Hare Elu Asurim. These on this whole list are Asur of the Ein Isurun Isra Hana'a, only Isra Achila, not an Isur Hana'a. One last point, as if this year is not long enough already. These are very, very fundamental principles in Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Akum, but we need to distinguish between some of the Mishnayos that we spoke about when we speak about an Oved Kochavim, we're speaking about Avodah Zarah problems, or cases where, no, this is not let's do about Avodah Zarah. We're concerned they may be using food that's not kosher. So that would apply not only to an Oved Avodah Zarah, that would apply to any non-Jew.